Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Yud Chet, and we're holding a Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beit, four lines up from the bottom, and we started talking about how much food you can save at what point of the day. We had a machlokas, the Rabbana and Rabbi Yossi, about whether this is a standardized shiur, that at any point in the day you can utilize that, or whether this is specifically at the particular point in the day where you need that much. Tana Rabbanan, so we finally get, based on this machloket, we finally get an insight into the chiyuvim of Onek Shabbat, because we're talking about Bichdei Shalosh Seudot, which seems like an awful lot of food to be able to save if we're being doichav halacha. Why do we need that much? So Tana Rabbanan, Kama Seudot Chayav Adam Lecho B'Shabbat, Shalosh. We're going to see where we know this from the Pasuk. Rabbi Chitka Omer, no, you need four total su'udot, not including Mlava Malka that we're going to be discussing later, but you need four su'udot. Om Rabbi Yochanan v'shnehem mikra achad dorshu. If you take a look at the Pasuk, when it comes to the man, where we spoke about the way that the man fell like a Mishnah on Erev Shabbos, and Moshe says to everybody, Ichluhu hayom, ki Shabbat hayom la'ashem, hayom lo timtzu'u basadeh. There's a little bit exaggerated, the number of hayoms, but the point over is that each one of those yoms is a specific chiyuv in the covered hayom. So since it says three times hayom, it means to tell me that I am chiyuv to honor Shabbat three times with a suda during the 24 hours of Shabbos. So Rabbi Chitka says no, it means three times in the day. Hayom means yom, it doesn't include Friday night su'udah, which would mean that we're taking for granted that there'll be a su'udah at night, and that you're going to, in fact, have four su'udot over the entire Shabbat. So Rabbi Chitka Savar Hanitlat Hayom means Levad Miurta. Rabbanan Savri Bahade Urta. Vashenken, according to the Rabbanan, we're talking about even along with the night, because Hayom means the day of Shabbos Kedesh, which includes the night. So now, looking into our Mishnah, we have a hint in the Mishnah about how many su'udot, beautifully, because the Mishnah tells us at what point in the day you are allowed to save how much, according to the Rabbanan, and from there we'll see how many su'udot you have to eat, right? So it says in the Mishnah, Naflad lekeb lelei Shabbat, then matzilin mazon shalosh su'udot. So if you have the fire breakout in the evenings, then you're allowed to save three. And I'm assuming that that's talking about where he has not yet eaten his soda. And that was right at the beginning of Shabbos. Fire breaks out. Chas v'shalom. No, says the Gemara. No. Maybe it means that he already ate, and it means there's three more meals to go. But that would mean that there would be a total of four, which would work out okay according to Rav Chitka. Okay. Take a look at the next one. If the fire breaks out in the morning, it says, then you can only save enough for two su'udot. I'm assuming that that means early in the morning, before a su'udah, fire breaks out, and this is telling me I only have to have two su'udot on Shabbat, right? No, maybe it's talking about they already ate. It doesn't mean literally in the morning. It means in the morning after the su'udah. Okay, let's take the next one. B'mincha matzilin mazon su'uda achat. Now, I'm assuming that that means he did not yet eat su'uda shlishit. Why? Maybe it means that he did eat su'uda shlishit. Well, if you take a look at the end of the Mishnah, it's pretty clear that that's ridiculous. Because Rabbi Yossi says, no, it doesn't matter what time of the day that they went ahead and had to save from the fire. You always have exactly the same shear. Whether it's the night before, the morning, or mincha time, it's always three su'udot. Now, I mean, it's rather difficult to believe that Rav Chitka is arguing about two separate issues, you know. All he's saying is that the variations in time that the Rabbanan insist are part of the heter. According to me, we don't look at the particular time of the day. The Rabbanan, remember, the whole point over here was to reduce the sense of urgency and stress. The Rabbanan gave a shear of how much you can save. The shear is predicated on the maximum number of su'udot that you'd have for Shabbat. What's the difference what time in the day we're talking about? The important thing is stress reduction. So you won't come to be Mechal Shabbos. Okay. So then, I mean, there's no reason for us to assume that Tanakam argues about that. He's only arguing about whether it's time-dependent or not. So Rabbi Yossi is not saying something new in that department. Bichlal the Tanakam is sovar. Shalosh? Apparently. Yeah. That is pretty sad. Okay, then we're going to have to conclude that indeed the Mishnah is definitely not following Rav Chitka. Okay, fine. So our Mishnah is going on Libe Rabban. Okay, but everybody agrees that 100%, for some reason, you cannot give, and we said the reason was based on the Pasuk, the Remez. That, by the way, is there's a question about whether this is actually, we're talking about a D'oraisa, and the Din Bechlal of Onik Shabbos is a D'oraisa, or this is an Asmachta D'Rabbanan, or whether the ideas of Karat Shabbat Oneg, which is all from Divrei Kabbalah, which L'chora couldn't be a D'oraisa. However, there are some Shittas among the Rishonim who say that the Dinim of the Chiev of Oneg is derived from the Chiev of the Moadim, where over there definitely is the D'oraisa. And since the Torah includes Shabbat in the list of the Moadim, so because of that, that Chiev would be Chal on Shabbos. It's very problematic, because the Gemara gives other terutzim for why Shabbat is included, and in fact, obviously, it doesn't have other dinim of Yantiv, and so on. So that's something that we'll have to see as the sugi goes on. But the question is like this. Why does it say in Peah, where over there we're talking about how much tzedakah you give out to aniyim? Now, remember that there were two different ways of giving tzedakah la'aniyim. So they would have a standard soup kitchen kind of thing, where any ani that comes by would be given two meals for the day. She comes by that day, and we provide him his two meals. Now, that's a little bit of a bizoyan, because, I mean, the guy's got to stand in line at the soup kitchen, and everybody sees that he's dependent on the tamchut means the soup kitchen. That was the technical word for it. And so because of that, where there were people that would be, in fact, ro'i not to be standing in a line, we call it b'nei tovim, and they didn't have any money. So there was another kupa. The kupa was the communal fund, and the communal fund provided funds for 14 meals a week. It was given once a week so that a person who couldn't afford his food for the week, if he didn't have enough for the week, was given enough for the week. So, in light of that, when the Mishnah says, Mishyesh l'mazon shtei se'udot, so if you can have enough food for today, then don't take from the tamchui. The tamchui is for people who don't currently have what to eat, and if you do take, that'll be gezel aniyim. So don't take from there. If you have, now dig this, 14 se'udas, then that means you have enough for the week. Do not take from the kupah. What do you mean, 14? This doesn't work out according to anybody. I mean, because 14 su'udot is not enough for 7 days, since it often works out that one of those 7 days is Shabbos. What happened to the extra su'udah on Shabbos? So according to Rabbanan, it's supposed to be 15. According to Rabbi Chitka, it's supposed to be 16. So how do we explain the Mishnah and Pei according to either of them? Says the Gemara. Actually, the Mishnah really is Alibi de Rabbanan. And the guy who has the need to go to the kupah, and he's saying, well, what am I supposed to do? I need an extra meal for my sura shlishis on Shabbos, don't I? So we tell him, look, anyway, you had enough for 14 su'udas the week before, correct? That's what we said. That means that you have enough food for Friday evening. Okay, so why, basically what we should tell him is, you have enough also for Saturday evening, if I'm giving you 14. So what you were going to eat Saturday night, eat before Saturday night. Make a late challah shudas, you know, and have yourself that su'udah, and forget about your malava malka. And this way you'll have a late challah su'udah shlishit, and you'll have enough. So what you're going to do is you're going to use your standard food for Metzoy Shabbos. You'll use it as a su'udah shlishit. Wait, okay, fine, but that only works out according to Rabbanan. I mean, that's fine. That tells me how you can get away with 15, okay? But I mean, with 14 in place of 15. But how about 14 in place of 16? Where do you get that extra meal? Well, it could work out like Rabbi Kritka, because then we could tell him, well, you were going to eat, weren't you, Friday morning and Friday night, right? You had enough money for that. Don't eat Friday morning. So make yourself an early Shabbos, basically, okay? Then you'll have enough food for your sudas Shabbos in the evening time, early meal. Save the meal that you were going to eat that night. Save it for the morning because you ate your breakfast basically for your evening meal. And that way you'll have enough for shalosh sudot. Okay, this makes sense to you? Well, we're going to tell the guy he's supposed to fast the whole Erev Shabbos because that way we give him one meal less. Doesn't make any sense. I mean, we'll leave to see to it that the guy's going to eat on Friday, no? You're right. You know what? The whole question was not a question. The Braita, I mean, the Mishnah actually, is going according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, remember the famous Ma'amar, is Asei Shabbaticha Chol Va'al Tetzarech Labriot. Since we're talking about over here, the criterion for what allows you to take from tzedakah in the first place, and what that means is that you are right at the edge, right? In other words, you can survive. You have 14 meals. You can survive Shabbat if you treat it like any other day. You'll only have 2 meals for the day. It's better to do that and to treat your Shabbat like chol than to have to now break over the tipping point to be able to go and to take from the kupa shel tzedakah. So that was what Rabbi Akiva was saying. Of course, if Lamaisa, the guy, is already on the kupa, so he doesn't have any money, fine, so then we give him whatever he needs. So then, Enochinami, according to Rabbanu, we give him 15, according to Pritka, we give him 16, but we're talking about someone who's right at the line. So Rabbi Akiva, it's better not to cross that line and to get onto the charity dole and to make your way on Shabbos. So now, let me ask you, how about that first part of that mission over there, right? Over there, it's talking about not the normal community funds, which contain the tamchui and the kupa. There's also a fund that is not made specifically for members of the community, but for mishulachim that are passing through town. Okay, so what's then over there? So the Mishnah begins with that halacha. Or somebody who's passing through. So he goes through a city. We don't know him. He's not part of our normal dole. And he doesn't have anything to eat. So we've got to give him food. What do we give him? We give him a loaf of bread. Well, what size a loaf of bread? Well, we give him a loaf of bread. And here's how you can figure out how much flour there's going to be in that loaf of bread. Because Let's say at a time that we know that the cost of wheat is 4 sa'ah of wheat per sella, then this would be giving him 1 pundion worth of a loaf of bread. Now that works out, basically, the pundion would be enough to buy shisha beitzim, which is a quarter of a kav on this basis, because a sa'ah is 6 kav, so that means you've got 24 kav. If you're talking about over here, Arba Sayin, you can buy that for a sella, and a sella is worth 48 pundionas. So that means that we basically are going to get, based on this, the truth is this isn't quite true, but we won't get into that. So over here, it's not true because we're talking over here about the finished loaf of bread. We're not talking really about the amount of wheat. So in actuality, if a punyan is going to buy a chatzikav in terms of the raw wheat, it's only going to buy, when you figure the baking and the sifting and so on and so forth, it's only going to buy you a quarter kav of flour, which is a lot. So that's enough to eat basically 2 solid meals. And that's what we give him. If he's planning on staying overnight, then you have to give him whatever he needs for staying overnight. Now, obviously, that can't be food because we already talked about giving him 2 meals today. So what would that be? The Gemara is going to talk about the Im Shavat. Now, if he's going to plan on spending Shabbos in the city, and then we give him enough for Shalosh Seudas. What do you mean Shalosh Seudas? According to Rav Chitka, that should be 4 Seudas. So is this going Dafka Libra Rabbanan? And not again, that mission is also, the first part is not going like Rav Chitka either? No. Actually, that could go like Rav Chitka. Because, I mean, we're assuming the case is when the person arrives in town carrying 1 suda, he didn't arrive starving, so he's been traveling with something to eat. Okay, so we say to him, you've got food with you, right? So, whatever you've got with you right now, okay, eat that on Shabbos, and we're going to give you another 3 sodas that you can have in the day of Shabbos. So the food that you brought with you, guy comes to town and, you know, in the afternoon before Shabbos. He says, I'm planning on staying over Shabbos. Fine. So you'll have that 1 suda you'll have from your own food that you brought along. And we're going to give you 3 sudas for tomorrow. What do you mean? But the food that the guy had that he brought along, I mean, that's his basic ration that he has for himself, that now when he leaves town, he's going to need that. I mean, you can't let him leave town without anything and say, all right, finish up all your food and get the heck out of here. That's ridiculous. How can we tell him to use up the very food that he uses for the emergency of his travel, that he shouldn't be without any food? No, of course we give him on Sunday. We're going to give him from the kupa, the standard, from the tamchui, the standard tamchui. So he's going to come to the soup kitchen. We're going to give him enough for two meals, one of which is going to be breakfast, and the other one I'll take for him when he travels. And then wherever he arrives, he's going to arrive with that food for the evening. Then the next morning, he'll go to the local soup kitchen. So Malvinenle, that way we give him a Suda Bahadeh, which is the norm that we would give. Okay, now, by the way, I'm just curious. When you see if the guy's planning on staying overnight, then we have to give him sufficient for the night. What do you mean sufficient for the night? We gave him two meals. What more does he need for the night? Amar of Papa, well, the guy's got to sleep, doesn't he? I mean, I'm assuming he needs something to lay his head on. So you give him like a pillow of some kind, maybe a little bit of felt that he folds over, but whatever. Or maybe his wife throws his yarmulke at him and says, here it is. But maybe you can sleep on that. I don't even see it anywhere, but what can you do? So, there we go. Soaking wet yarmulke, but if I don't wear it right away when it comes out of the washing machine, it doesn't fit my head anymore. Okay, so we give him a bed to sleep on and a besadia. We got to give him a little pillow for his kepi. Tana Rabbana. Now, what about, here's an interesting way of looking at it. How many sudas, how many times are you going to eat? How many times are you going to wash the dishes on Shabbos? Okay, now if we can find out how many times you're going to wash the dishes, so now we know how many meals you're going to be eating, because we certainly don't want you to be washing the dishes as a hachona for chol, right? So, ka'arot shechal b'em arvit. So let's say you finish your meal, you got all of these dishes, wash them, because you're going to eat in the morning. Medichan lechol b'em shacharit. Finish your meal shacharit, wash them, because you're going to eat again in the afternoon. In the afternoon, wash them again, because you're going to be eating at mincha time. And then after that, when you finish your fourth seuda, as it's saying over here, it's clearly going a little bit of chitka, right? So when you finish your fourth seuda on Shabbos, oh boy, I can see Moshe Foreman salivating already. So when you finish your fourth seuda, we're in trouble. It's not going to be time for anything. Just eating. So and then the Malava Malka, don't forget, because we have to be very mindful on the Malava Malka. So Moshe's planning on buying his second bread machine. So now, after Mincha, then you don't wash the dishes, but you can wash all your cups, because, I mean, who knows how much you're going to be drinking. You could drink at any point. So, of course...
Drink at any point? The Gemara says that?
You could. Wow. It says exactly the opposite. It says, Ein kev alishtia. There's no particular time that you need to drink. You could drink before the daf yomi. You could drink after the daf yomi. But you're not believed to drink in the middle of the daf yomi, because Ein kev, that's what happens if you have a little bit of knowledge. It's dangerous. You may end up drinking in the middle of your daf yomi. So when it comes to drinking, that you can do at any time. There's no particular time that you have to drink. So that's clearly like Reb Chitka, right? Oh boy, I can see Moshe saying, I told you so, I told you so. Kol ha-mikayim shalosh sudot b'shabbat. Is going to be Nitzal Mishalosh Puraniyot. Now, this is actually built on the very pasuk that teaches us about the need for Shalosh. Finally, we get some attention. Look at this. It's a different world. So this is built on the very same pasuk that teaches us how many times we have to eat on Shabbos. And that is Hayom, Hayom, Hayom. And each one of those Hayoms is a reference to another Puranut that we better save ourselves from. So first of all, you save yourself from Chevlo Shel Mashiach, all of the tzoras before Mashiach comes, you can be saved from. And you can be saved from hell, Midina Shel Gehinom. And you can be saved from the Milchemet Gog u'Magog, who comes to attack the Malchus Mashiach. How do I know that? Because Mi Chevlo Shel Mashiach, the first yom that it says in that pasuk, right? It says yom, and binogea, the coming of the Mashiach, it says, Hinei anochi sholeach lachem et Eliyahu hanavi lifnei bo yom Hashem. So the yom Hashem is actually connected one of those yoms of the Surah. And then we have another one. You're saved from Geinam, because the same thing. It says over here, yom, but then there's another yom that applies to the yom Evra Hayomahu, in which we're describing the horrors of the dark day of hell. And the third yom is Mohammed Gog u'Magog, K'tivacha yom, and then in the whole beautiful Haftorah, B'yom bo Gog alamat Yisrael. So that means that would be the third thing that you would be saved. Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yosi, Kol ha'maneget ha'shabbat, notnim lo nachala b'li mitzarim. Shenemar, because we have, here it means your zocha, to a chelek in the world that has no limits, because it says that v'karata l'shabbat oneg, etc. Oz tita nag al Hashem v'irkavticha bomotei aretz v'achalticha. Now this is very fascinating. Nachalat Yaakov Avicha. I mean, all we have is Yaakov Avinu. What happened to Avram and Yitzchak? And why are we talking about Dafka, the Nachalav Yaakov? That's exactly the point. Loka Avraham, because the Nachalav Avram Avinu, the Torah said, Kumit Alech Ba'aretz Lo'orka Ulorach Ba'akil Chaitnena. So what was Avram Avinu given in terms of his Nachala? Only the length and width of the Eretz that he walked through. And not even like Yitzchak, where we add Kilecho Lezarach HaTenet Kol Aratzot Ta'el. But it's only these Aratzot. Masha'inke in the Brocha to Yaakov, it says, Ufaratzta Yama Vakedma Vitzafona Vanegba, which means Nachala Belimit Sarim, so that there are no specific limits. Rebachor by Yitzchak Omar, you are also, if you're Ma'anigas HaShabbos, which we're going to define, we don't know quite what that is yet, he would be Nitzol also Mishi Ibud Galiot, that says of Yerkir Kafticha Abomate Aretz. So if you're Mit'aneg al Hashem, and not only will you be given Nachalat Yaakov Avicha, but I will put you on top of the heights of the entire world. And it says in the Brocha, Ata Abomoteinu Tidroch. So then that means that you, when the Oivim attack Israel, you will be the one that is trampling over them on the highest places. But I've already put you on the highest places. So therefore, if Karas L'Shabbos Oneg, it means that whatever the Goyim and whatever the society is going to oppress you with, you will be saved from. All of your secret wishes, your innermost wishes, can be given to you if you are careful to be Ma'anik Shabbos. Shenemar v'itanag al Hashem v'yiten lecha mishalot libecha. The wishes of your heart will all be given to you. Now, the truth is, what is this oneg exactly? Oz tit'aneg al Hashem. That in Exeni Yodea Mahu, how can you be mit'aneg al Hashem? So when we get to the pasuk where it says, v'karata l'shabbat oneg, so then that means the reference to be mit'aneg al Hashem is exactly that, oneg Shabbat, and therefore it would be a chiyuv at least midivrei hanevi'im. As I mentioned to you before, there are those who bring la'alocha that it would be deraisa. So what type of things would be an oneg? Well, obviously that would be locally dependent about what type of foods people enjoy and so on. But each one gives an example from his own times and his own place. So Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eder Shmuel of Shmuel Bar Shilas B'Shmei D'Rav says, look, a nice geschmack, a bowl of borscht, you know, that's the way you got to start a meal properly. And then you got yourself a baked fish. Wow. Together with these beautiful garlic garnished all around. God, that's what I think is a nice oneg Shabbos. Reb Chiya Bar Ashi Amar Rav, listen, I mean, you don't have to blow all your cash on this, you understand? When we say oneg Shabbos, anything that a person does, even if he has very little money and he can't afford much, but any extra thing that the person does to cover Shabbos, that is oneg Shabbos, and he's included in this incredible brachas. So let's say a guy, afilu dover mu'at, l'chvot Shabbat asa'o, that is oneg. For instance, what? Rav Papa, listen, even a casa d'arsana, even if you got sardines, you fry these sardines up in a little bit of a tasty flour and oil, that's something that is unique that you made for Shabbos. You're yoytzianik Shabbos with that. Omer b'chia barav, omer b'yochanan kol mishamer Shabbat kilchato, afilu oved avodah zarah kedor enosh mochalin lo. As we know, the two things that we talk about being keneged, all of the mitzvahs, is somebody who is shomer Shabbos, chas v'sholom, mechallel Shabbos, and someone's oved avodah zarah. So even if someone was worshiping avodah zarah his whole life, but for the oneg of Shabbos, we will find mechila. Shenemar ashrei enosh yaaseh zot kol shomer Shabbat mechalelo. Don't read that mechalelo, but rather mochulo. We're mechal him for all of his avodah zarah. That's an amazing thing, because unfortunately many people who for all intents and purposes really are avodah zarah, they just give it the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they are ma'aniges haShabbos, which is an incredible thing. So without even realizing it, the Esek and Shabbos itself, and the Oneg and Shabbos, which is Ostit Anag al Hashem, means that they're connected on the level through Shabbos, really with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And all of whatever religion they happen to be worshiping during the week is nonetheless is Mechuper Lehem, because of the Chibur to Shabbos. It's tremendous Limut Zchus on situations in Klal Yisrael. Omer Rav Yonah Merav, Il Malei Shamru Yisrael Shabbat Rishonah. You know what? If it hadn't been for that horrible story about the man and even that very first Shabbos, where people who went out and they collected the man, it's a machlokas what they did, whether it was an is, they went out chutz l'tchum, according to some. According to others, they were actually over on chutzah. Again, obviously, the two issues that we've been discussing all along. But anyway, if it wouldn't have been for that, lo shalta behem umah v'lashon, we would never have had a problem with having to fight for our lives and all of the horrors that happened after us. Because, I mean, if you take a look at the Seder HaDvarim in the development of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the giving of the man and so on, so it says, Vayi bayom ha-shevi'i, yatz'ub min ha'am lilkot, and after that we find Vayavo Amalek, and that's the first attack on Klal Yisrael, and that means that the two are related. We would not have been shayach to being attacked by Goyim if it would, we would have had that chibur takarash baruch hu of us titanag al Hashem. Om Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, if at any time Klal Yisrael would actually keep two Shabbatot ki hilchatan, they would immediately be zeicha to Gugula Shlema, Shenemar, Ko Amar Hashem l'sarisim asher yishmru et shabtotai, v'aviotim el har kodshi v'simachtim b'beit filati elotehem v'zivcheyem ratzon al mizbechi. That's mamish a complete geula, only because Yishmu et Shabtotai, two Shabbatot. Rabbi Yossi. So now, Rabbi Yossi, in order to give a sense of the things that he dreamt of being zoche to do b'shlemus in his lifetime, he gave a lot of things in order to teach his Talmidim what their dreams should be of. So Yehei Chalki Miochle Shalosh Seudot B'Shabbat. Halavai, I should be Zocha to be Mekayim Shalosh Seudais. So obviously, this is meant to teach people, if this is Rabbi Yossi's like big dream, how much we have to work on being Mekayim Seudah Shlishit. Om Rabbi Yossi, another thing that I dream about, I should halavai, I should be among those who are Zocha to finish Hallel every day. What? Finish Hallel every day is not good. It's bad. Doesn't it say, HaKorei Hallel B'chol Yom, HaRezeh Mecharefu Megadev? That if you take the Hallel, which was like something that was set aside, miyuchet, to give special thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you turn that into like a ritual, it's terrible. You're taking something that was meant to be an intimate praise, and you ritualize it, which deprives it of all content, and that's mamish like, as if you're blaspheming. No, he didn't mean Hallel literally. He meant Psuket Zimra, because Psuket Zimra has in it Hallel, Halleluka, Hallelujah Hashem. So those ones that use those Tehillim specifically, that use that beginning, if I'm Zocha to do that in Psuket Zimra, I'm very, very happy. Which means that if you don't have enough time to daven, So then you can't just add Psukei DeZimra later. Right? I need to be able to say Psukei DeZimra b'chol yom. That means in the time in preparation for my tefillah. Omer Rabbi Yossi. Another thing that I dream of. Halavai, I should be among those who pray while the sky is all beautifully red from sunrise or sunset. Sunrise. Om Rabbi Chiya Bar Ava. Om Rabbi Yochanan. Mitzvah litpalel im dumdumei chama. Indeed, that is a mitzvah. Where do we see this? Om Rabbi Zera Mikra. Yira'ucha im shamesh. Vilifnei yareach dor dorim. So through the generations, may those who are zoicha to be makabo, pnei hashchina, betvila, in yira, it should be with the outburst of the shining of the sun, and before the moon becomes obvious in the sky. And that means sunrise, sunset. Another thing that I dream of is to die from stomach illness. The Amar Mar, Rubam Shel Tzadikim, Metim Becholi Me'ayim. So Rashi says the reason for this is because it's a very long and painful death, and therefore will be Bechaper on all of my Avonais. But Tosfos says, no, that's not the point at all. The point is that if someone dies from stomach illness, then that means it's memare kachila v'shtia mitoch me'av, so that the person is, so to speak, mituhar from the connection to Olam Hazeh and to all of the filth of Olam Hazeh. V'om Reb Yossi, ye'echal ki mimeitei b'derech mitzvah. I also should die on the way I was going to do a mitzvah. Obviously, this doesn't mean because of the mitzvah, because shluchei mitzvah in an izokin. But, I mean, there's no a mitzvah on being on the way to a mitzvah doesn't mean that the guy can't die from a heart attack. So whatever it is, I should be zoche that was my last act in life. It's like we talk about, you know, a captain going down with the ship or, you know, a soldier dying in arms and so on. So that would be, dying in arms would be being Isaac in a mitzvah. The Omer Rabbi Yossi. Another thing, I should only be zoche, that every week I should be the kind of guy that is mekabel Shabbos in Tveria, and on Matzai Shabbos, he waits for Tzipori. So obviously, Tveria was very deep down in the valley. So it's in the Jordan Valley. Okay, so that valley means that because of the mountains that surround it, if you're in Tveria, the sun sets very early. So I should be zoche me mekabel Shabbos very early. Tzipori, on the other hand, is up on top of a mountain. So if I'm in Tzipori, then that means I'm going to have a longer Shabbos. I have to wait until it turns dark in Tzipori. Now, this is Rimigash's pshat. Rashi has a very funny pshat, which is nogeya very much lahalacha. This was part of the tshuva of Rav Meisha, the famous psak of Rav Meisha, about what time the Shabbos come in if you live on the 61st floor versus what time the Shabbos come in if you live on the 20th floor, right? Which was nogeya every day until what time can you daven mincha in the office buildings. And because of that, they would make mincha on the top floor. So that way they could always have a full day before mincha because the sun doesn't set there until 10 minutes later, you know? So that would mean the way that Moshe paskins, the local conditions are indeed the only conditions. And therefore, what good would it to be in Tveria? It really would be Shabbos. So what would be the point? And that's exactly where the Rimi Gash learns, that Adarabba, that's the point. I would have a very nice long Shabbos, because it would start early and it would end late. And he even suggests that in terms of the Tchum, you'd be able to get from Tveria to Tzipori, which is a little bit of a problem, but I guess if you've got a drone or something, you might be able to do that, or he's talking about a Tchum de Araisa. In any event, that would be consistent. Rashi's pshat is that in Tveria, it looks like the sun has set. So because of that, the Mekabel Shabbos earlier in Tveria, and that way I would be Mekabel an early Shabbos. And in Tzipori, it looks like it's still day, even though it isn't really day. Now, you'll take a look if you have your Maizmanim on the internet and so on. So they actually give these two different Piskei Halachas on Maizmanim. And as you can choose to give you the time of Shkia, let's say, according to sea level, or you can choose according to your local location, right? So well, let's say when it comes to Yerushalayim, they've got like six different things that you can click. You can click the Old City, you can click Gula, and it's different times because of the variations in the height that you're at in that particular place, okay? Again, This is mamish, two different pshatim in the Gemara. The Amar Rabbi Yossi, another thing is, you know, I'd like to be the guy that is in charge of bringing people into the Beis HaMedrash and not the guy that rings the bell when it's time for lunch. Okay, everybody up, come on, time for lunch. No, I don't want to be that. Definitely don't want to be that guy. Another thing is that Amar Rabbi Yossi, Echal Kimi Gabba Eitz Tzedakah, V'lomi Michal Keitz Tzedakah. I want to be among the guys that collects tzedakah for people. Chas v'shalom, not to be one of the people that has to decide how to split it up, because, I mean, God help us, you know, you have a little bit of a prejudice to one guy, and you give him more, and you prevent other people who need that money maybe more than him, because you don't like them, you don't even realize that you're prejudiced. I don't want to be responsible for that at all. The Amar Rabbi Yossi, another thing that I would love to be is halavai people would be cheshit me of things that I don't have. And that way it's tremendous kapora. So for somebody to face that kind of pain is a great kapora. Amar of Papa, yes, I, Baruch Hashem, was zoicha to that. Lididi chashdan, yep. That happened to me, velo havibi. Amar Rabbi Yossi, another personal sort of intimate thing that Rabbi Yossi said, that I had intercourse 5 times, and with those 5 times, I managed to plant 5 immense cedar trees. And those cedar trees were Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chalafta Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Avtilis Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Nachum Rabbi Yossi. These were 5 Gedolei Torah. And this was all due to the fact that I had 5 intercourses. Rather strange. That's what he did his whole life. 5 intercourses. What about his chiyav of Aina? Gemara is going to ask. Now, what about Vardimus? My gosh, Vardimus is a famous gadol. And how come he didn't count Vardimus? Vardimus's real name was Menachem. Who calls his son Rosie? Come on. Am I correlate Vardimus? We didn't even have the Lord of the Rings in those days. So it was because Punov Ardomim Leveret. It's because he was so beautiful that he shined like a rose, so they called him Rosie. But, I mean, really, his name was Menachem. Wait, what are you saying? Rabbi Yossi says I had 5 intercourses in my life? Lameima de Rabbi Yossi mitzvat omnalo kiem? What's he saying? No. He's saying, chamesh bielot ba'alti v'shaniti. I committed myself to having sons, because we said before, remember, that somebody who wants to make his children males, so what he should do is, he has to have intercourse once, which changes the pH, vaginal pH, and then he should have, again, immediately intercourse, and that way he would be able to make it much more likely that I would have a male. So because of that, I mean, that's not an easy thing to do, but because of that, you needed to have like a real commitment to do that. I did that 5 times. Now, it's interesting that in the Yerushalmi, when they asked this kasha, they say an incredible thing, which is like, whoa, that was quite a life. And that was that Rabbi Yossi had to do Yibum 5 times. Hashem Yishmor. But it means he had 5 brothers that died, and that he had to be Mekayim Yibum with their wives. He did not want to be married to them the whole time because of the way that the Gemara says if someone isn't mechaving totally l'shem shemayim, so then it's as if he was bala erva, but he wanted to be mekayim the mitzvah, not to do chalitza. So he would actually be boil the yivama, and then fine, then he would pater her with the get, and that way they didn't have to do chalitza. Those 5 times, which were not with his wife, is what the Yerushalmi says is referring to. That's where he had, from the koyach of that mitzvah, that's where he had these 5 incredible children. Then there was whatever else he did in his life. And that's not what we're referring to. Om Reb Yossi, I want you to know I never called my wife, hey, wifey. I called her homie because she was my home. I never called my ox, hey, you ox. I called her my field. So le'ishti beti, because that's the ikar of the bayit. And my shor, I would call my soda, because that is like my whole soda is only good because of my shor. Furthermore, says Rabbi Yossi, I was so tsanua, never to get turned on in the wrong way. I never would look at my own genitals. How could that be? Didn't we say that that's the reason that Rabbeinu HaKadosh was called Rabbeinu HaKadosh? Because he said that, I never heard that Rabbi Yossi is called Rabbeinu HaKadosh. No, but Rebbe was even more careful. In order to avoid stimulation of himself, he never would put his hand under his belt. So lo yichnis yado tachat avneto, and that's even a greater madrega to be so careful. So when one person in history, we call that Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yossi, didn't reach that darga. The Omer Rabbi Yossi, l'miyamai lo ra'u korat beiti imrei chalukai. I want you to know that I was so tsanua that I never pulled off my dressing gown and stood there naked for a moment. I covered myself with my sheets, and then I would take off my pajama and put something on. Another thing, I always took other people's opinions very, very seriously, to the point where I would not, even something that I'm positive about, damn, I know I'm not a Kohen. I mean, it's ridiculous. But I can tell you something, if I'm sitting there in shul, and my friends tell me, come on, you idiot, you're a Kohen, get on up there and go do the duchan. I wouldn't say, these guys are crazy. I'd say, I must be crazy. And if they say, go up and do the duchen, I'll go up and I'll do it. Ani ole. Tosfos says, I'm not quite sure what would be so terrible if you do not as a Kohen. I mean, what's the big chiddush? Okay, fine. You want me to go up? I'll go up. He wasn't sure. Maybe it's a bracha of Atala would be the issue. And he would have had to say a bracha. Or is it have something to do with actually trying to be Seisr the Kohuna?